So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, our favorite canto 5, chapter 26, and very last verse of whole fifth canto, number 40, the hellish description of the hellish planets. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Boo. Dvipa. Varsha, Sarid, Adri, Navaha, Samudra, Patala, Dinaraka, Bhagana, Lokasamsta, Gita, Maya, Tava, Nripadbhutam, Ishvarasya, Stulam, Vapu, Sakala, Jiva, Nikaya, Dhamma, Budvipa Varsa Saridadrinaba Samudra. Patala dinaraka bhagana loka samsta. Gita maya tava nipadbhutam ishvarasya. Stulam vapu sakala jiva nikaya dhamma. Budvipa Varsha Sariradrina Bhaksa Mudra. Budvipa Varsha Sariradrina Bhaksa Mudra. Patala Dinaraka Bhagana Loka Sansa. Gita Maya Tava Nipadbhutam Ishvarasya. Stulam vapu sakala jiva nikaya dhamma. Budvipa Varsha Sariradrina Bhaksa Mudra. Patala dinaraka bhagana loka sansa. Gita maya tava nipadbhutam jisvarasya. Stulam vapu sakala jiva nikaya dhamma.
Ya Allah.
Ladies, of this planet Earth, Dvipa, and other different planetary systems, Varsha, of tracts of land, Sarit, rivers, Adri, mountains, Navaha, the sky, Samudra, oceans, Patala, lower planets, Dik, directions, Naraka, the hellish planets, Bhaganaloka, the luminaries and higher planets, Samsta, the situation, Gita, described, Maya, by me, Tava, for you, Nripa, O King, Adbhutam, wonderful, Ishvarasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Stulam, gross, Vapu, body, Sakala Jiva Nikaya, of all the masses of living entities, Dhamma, which is the place of repose. My dear King, I have now described for you this planet Earth, other planetary systems, and their lands, varshas, rivers, and mountains. I've also described the sky, the oceans, the lower planetary system, the directions, the hellish planetary systems, and the stars. These constitute the Bhirat Rupa, the gigantic material form of the Lord, on which all living entities repose. Thus I have explained the wonderful expanse of the external body of the Lord. Translation, please repeat. My dear King, I have now described for you this planet Earth, other planetary systems, and their lands, varshas, rivers and mountains. I have also described the sky, the oceans, the lower planetary systems, the directions, the hellish planetary systems, and the stars. These constitute the Virat Rupa, the gigantic material form of the Lord, on which all living entities repose. Thus I have explained the wonderful expanse of the external body of the Lord. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fifth canto, 26th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Hellish Planets. Completed in the Honolulu Temple of Panchatattva, June 5th, 1975. There is a supplementary note written by His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada in his Gaudiya Bhashya. Its translation is as follows. Learned scholars who have full knowledge of all the Vedic scriptures agree that the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are innumerable. These incarnations are classified in two divisions called Prabhav and Vaibhav. According to the scriptures, Prabhav incarnations are classified in two divisions, those which are called eternal and those which are not vividly described. In this fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, in chapters 3 through 6, there is a description of Rishabhdev, but there is not an expanded description of his spiritual activities. Therefore, he is considered to belong to the second group of Prabhav incarnations. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3, verse 13, it is said, Astame merudevyam tu nabir jata urukrama darshayan bhartma dhiranam sarvasrama namaskritam. Lord Vishnu appeared in the eighth incarnation as the son of Maharaj Nabi, the son of Agnidra, and his wife Meru Devi. He showed the path of perfection, the Paramahamsa stage of life, which is worshipped by all followers of Varnashram Dharma. Rishabhdev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his body is spiritual, Satchidananda Vigraha. Therefore, one might ask, how is it possible that he passed stool and urine? The Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya Baladev Vidyabhushan has replied to this question in his book known as Siddhanta Ratna, first portion, text 65 and 68. Imperfect men call attention to Rishabhdev's passing stool and urine as a subject matter for the study of non-devotees who do not understand the spiritual position of the transcendental body. In this fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5, 6, 11, the illusioned and bewildered state of the materialists of this age is fully described. Elsewhere in the fifth canto, 5.5.19, Rishabhdev stated, Idam sariram mamadur vibhavyam. This body of mine is inconceivable for materialists. This is also confirmed by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti ma muda manusim tanumashritam param bhavam ajanato mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. The human form of the Supreme Personality of God is extremely difficult to understand, and in fact, for a common man, is inconceivable. Therefore, Rishabhdev has directly explained that his own body belongs to the spiritual platform. This being so, Rishabhdev did not actually pass stool and urine. Even though he superficially seemed to pass stool and urine, that was also transcendental and cannot be imitated by any common man. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the stool and urine of Rishabhdev were full of transcendental fragrance. One may imitate Rishabhdev, but he cannot imitate by passing stool that is very fragrant. The activities of Rishabhdev therefore do not support the claims of a certain class of men known as Arhat, who sometimes advertise that they are followers of Rishabhdev. How can they be followers of Rishabhdev while they act against Vedic principles? Sukadeva Goswami has related that after hearing about the characteristics of Lord Rishabhdev, the king of Konka, the king of Konka, Venka and Kutaka. Oh, this it's not his name, all right. King of three places. The king of Konka, Venka and Kutaka initiated a system of religious principles known as Arhat. These principles were not in accord with Vedic principles and therefore called Pasanda Dharma. Members of the Arhat community considered Rishabhdev's activities material. However, Rishabhdev is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is on the transcendental platform and no one can compare to him. Rishabhdev personally exhibited the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.8, Navanalas tada vanam ale lihana sahatena daddaha. At the conclusion of Rishabhdev's pastimes, an entire forest and the Lord's body were burned to ashes in a great forest fire. In the same way, Rishabhdev burned people's ignorance to ashes. He exhibited the characters of a Paramahams in his instructions to his son. The principles of the Arhat community, however, do not correspond to the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan remarks that in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is another description of Rishabhdev, but that Rishabhdev is different from the one described in this canto, end of the 5th canto. Dudvipa varsha sarid adri naba samudra patala din naraka bhagana loka santa gita mayata vanipadbutam ishvarasya stulam bapun sakala jiva nikaya dama. My dear king, I have now described for you the planet Earth, other planetary systems and their lands, varshas, rivers and mountains. I've also described the sky, the oceans, the lower planetary systems and directions, the hellish planetary system and the stars. These constitute the Vairat Rupa, the gigantic material form of the Lord, on which all living entities repose. Thus I explain the wonderful expanse of the external body of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhatati Svapadandiyam Adadana Srinandandai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dhulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance as my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So now the moment we've all been waiting for, the end of the 5th canto has come. So next we'll start the 6th canto. So here's described that this 5th canto is a description of the Bhairat Rupa, the external form of the Supreme Personality of God. It is described all the different planetary systems, the hellish planetary systems, the different oceans, different varshas, the luminaries, so many things have been described. This is all the external form of the Lord. We cannot say exactly material, but here Prabhupada uses the word external. Because this is not our favorite chapter, because we're interested in hearing about the Sachit Ananda, transcendental form of the Supreme Personality Godhead and his wonderful pastimes. So Prabhupada said external, just like in this body, although it is all our body, the hair and the fingernails, we can say they're external. Because every other part of the body, I have some sensation. But every week or so, we're cutting our nails. Every month, we're cutting our hair. But we do not feel any pain. It is part of the body, but it is not the same as the rest of the body. So like that, this Bhairat Rupa, it is part of the Supreme Lord, but it is external. In that same sense, like the fingernail is external. We cut it, we don't feel any pain. The rest of the body is completely, every part of it is conscious. In fact, Jai Sisi Gornitai Krishna Baldao Sisi Radha Shamsundar Lalita Visakha. In fact, we can analyze this body that we're so determined to try to squeeze out some enjoyment from this body, but we can see that it's not actually meant for enjoyment. Because only a few places on the body actually give any type of pleasure. There's a thin coating of skin, we feel things. Some little nerves are there on the nose that smell things, some nerve endings on the tongue. Little drum is there inside the ear, we hear sounds. There's a very few places. Just like, imagine your toe. How many people are getting so much pleasure from their toe? It's not that we're sitting around all day thinking, oh, I really enjoy, oh, my toe is just, oh, so much pleasure. We don't even think of our toe. But now the here around the area of the temple is a little uneven till we can finish everything up. So sometimes we bang our toe. How much pain we can feel. We don't even think about our toe. But how much pain we can feel in our toe. We don't get any pleasure, but we get so much pain. In fact, sometimes we get pains inside the body. We don't even know where the what is causing the pain or where that pain is coming from. We can find that every cubic inch of this body is capable of giving pain. But we described only a few places on the body actually give pleasure. So we should analyze that this body is not actually meant for trying to enjoy this material. It is meant for trying to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we've described all about the external manifestation of the Lord. And then there's a special note by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in his Gaudiya Bhashya commentary, where he describes about here in this verse, in this chapter, this canto is described about Lord Rishabhdev. How he appeared to the ordinary people, he appeared like a madman. He was wandering around completely naked, and he would pass stolen urine indiscriminately. So here it's described that sometimes the materialistic people, they find this very interesting. Prabhupada says they find this is an interesting topic for the materialist. The Lord is passing stolen urine. That means Lord is just like me. But Prabhupada quotes here, even Lord Rishabhdev said, my body is inconceivable. He's incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore his body is Satchidananda. He represents the Paramahams. Paramahams means even beyond the Varnasram Dharma. You see here, all the followers of Varnasram Dharma, they worship, he said, the Paramahamsa stage. He's above even the Paramahams means he's beyond the Varnasram system. So that is worshipable for us. Sometimes people artificially take to the Paramahamsa stage. But we see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his own example. He did not take to the Paramahamsa stage, Babaji. He took sannyas. Or to worship, that stage is worshipable for us. But people making a mockery, just taking, putting some piece of cloth and smoking bidi and other activities that we won't mention in this holy place. Like that. So rather than artificially become Paramahams, he took sannyas. Although he was the most, topmost sannyas, topmost Paramahams in the world. In his time. But to keep us humble, he took sannyas to show us that we should worship that stage. That stage is worshipable, that is not to be imitated. So people like to imitate this Paramahamsa stage because you can do anything. So Prabhupada said, you may imitate the activities, but let's see you pass stool that's fragrant. Ourselves, as soon as we pass stool, we want to run away from that place. Therefore, in the old system, that was something that was done outside the house. Now we're very modern. We pass stool right next to our bedroom. But in old days, that was something that was done outside the house. This is a nasty activity. So those who are actually cultured, they go outside. Nowadays, we're so anxious, we come to Vrindavan. Is there a attached bath? Is there a attached bath? But this is low class, this is not high class. Because our stool and urine is very smelly. But Lord Rishabhdev, he was able to pass stool and urine just lying on the ground. That was very fragrant in all directions. So we should understand, just like in Bhagavad Gita, one verse is there. What is that? Janma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tatvata taktva deham punar janma mahameti sorjuna. Janma karma chame divyam. Divyam is a word very close to English. In English we say divine. Divyam, almost same. Divyam, divine. Janma and karma. Krishna says, Janma karma chame, my janma and karma, divyam. They're divine. Janma we know, just like we know the word Jamastami, coming up very soon. The janma means birth, and karma means activities. So Krishna's janam, Krishna's birth, that is transcendental. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes how suddenly, without going through the ordinary process, he suddenly appeared outside the womb of Devaki. And he was decorated with golden helmet and golden ornaments and arm bracelets and beautiful golden dhoti. This is not, generally we don't take birth like that. Our birth is very nasty business. So Krishna's birth, janma, is transcendental. And karma, his activities are also transcendental. We cannot imitate. Just like, not far from here is Davanalakun, just a few blocks away from our temple, Davanalakun. So there, Krishna swallowed a whole forest fire. We're very expert at blowing out a few candles on our cake. And that we blow away from ourselves, because to swallow means you take it inside yourself. So Krishna was able to swallow a whole forest fire. His activities are completely transcendental, cannot be imitated by the living beings. Just like Prabhupada always uses the example, people like to smoke ganja thinking they're imitating Lord Shiva. The Lord Jiva swallowed a whole ocean of poison that was so powerful that even few drops were left over. Those were eaten up by the snakes and scorpions and other poisonous creatures. And still today they're giving poison. So powerful is there's few drops fell and so many creatures are there giving that poison even to today. So if you can swallow ocean of poison, then you can also smoke ganja like Lord Shiva. The people want to imitate that part that they like. So speaking of ocean, actually in scripture, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes ocean as himself. When we see the ocean, it is astounding to see the ocean, so huge. And all we're seeing is the surface underneath. There's so many creatures swimming and so many mountains, even volcanoes are there. And I read in the paper one volcano is erupting underneath the water somewhere. Volcanoes and mountains and valleys and so many types of fish and timangila fish and sharks and so many things. It's inconceivable. When we see ocean, whenever I see the ocean, I'm just amazed. As far as you can see, beyond your vision it goes. So the Krishna gives this example that the ocean is, I among bodies of water, I am the ocean, because we just like we can't imagine the expanse of Krishna's glories. Here is just describing so many chapters, just describing the external manifestation. We can't imagine. Prabhupada says in the higher planets we have, Prabhupada wanted to present Bhagavatam in 50 volumes and people were shocked. He said, but in higher planets there's hundreds of volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is just for earth. Little few volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. His Lord's activities are completely so. When we see the ocean, we think of the Lord, that He's so inconceivable. We can't. We just see the surface. We don't know what's going on underneath. It's the same way we're seeing Krishna, but we're only seeing surface, just superficially seeing Krishna. We're not really seeing Krishna. He's very deep, like the ocean. And Shastra describes that by seeing the ocean, one actually by taking darshan of ocean, one becomes free from sins. Just by seeing the ocean, because he's representative of Krishna, we become free from sins. So by taking darshan, we become free. But if we try to drink the ocean, we'll die. It is all salty water. If you go on drinking salty water, you'll die. It's the same way we see Krishna's pastime, especially dancing with gopis. And people, especially we see in Vrindavan, so many people trying to imitate. But if you take darshan of Krishna's activities with the gopis, you'll get liberated. That is described very carefully in Srimad Bhagavatam. That by hearing the pastimes of the Lord and go, one becomes free. But if one wants to imitate, just like by seeing the ocean, become free from sin. But you drink, you'll die. It's the same way if you try to imitate Krishna's pastimes, then your spiritual life will die. Like that. So Lord Vrishabhdev's activities cannot be imitated. And here is described, I don't know, I've never heard this word arhat before, it's only mentioned here. I am assuming he's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada is referring to Jain community, because they consider themselves followers of Vrishabhdev, but they've invented their own type of following, not according to the Vedic. They're not considered part of Vedic religion. Like that. So actual following Vrishabhdev is another thing. So all these things are described here in the end of this fifth canto. This is the very last verse. Finally we're finished. So I was also asked, since in a couple more days is coming the disappearance of Srila Sanatan Goswami. So I'm sure in the coming days other people will speak, so I'll speak something about Sanatana Goswami here in Vrindavan. As we know, his Bhajan Kutir is there at just beside old Madan Mohan Temple. His Bhajan Kutir is there. Because actually Mahaprabhu, one time in Puri, he sent Sanatan that you please go back to Vrindavan. I will come a second time. You find some nice peaceful place for me to stay. And second job he gave him was you find out that Madan Mohan Didi. When Advaita Prabhu went to Braj, he found him underneath a tree not far from that old Madan Mohan temple. There's Advaitavat. And we're very happy to announce that in this Purushottam month that just passed, they installed a brand new, very, very beautiful deity of Advaita, very peaceful deity of Advaitacharya, sitting underneath that Advaita Bhat. So that time there was no temples, most of the temples were in disrepair, Vrindavan was all forest like it should have remained. There was no Loi Bazaar, no MBT restaurant to buy some nice things. So Advaita Prabhu took that deity, that time he was known as Madana Gopal. And if you go there to Advaita Vat, they have most enchanting deity of Madana Gopal. So heart enchanting. Very beautiful. So he took that deity to Mathura and gave him to one Purusottam Chobe. Because many of the Brahmins of Mathura, they're Chaturvedis. But in Brijbhasa, we don't say Chaturvedi, we say Chobe. And so he gave him to Purushottam Chobe. So when Sanatana Goswami returned from Puri, he searched and he saw this place where the old Madan Mohan temple is, that is known as Dwadash Aditya tila. Dvadasha ditya tila. Tila means hill. So we see that it's high above the Jamuna there. A very beautiful temple. This temple, because it has been constructed on top of this hill, has become the symbol of Vrindavan. You go to Lohi Bazaar, you can get t-shirt, you know. I, a little heart, and then the picture of Madan Mohan temple silhouette, and then bottom Vrindavan. It becomes the symbol of Vrindavan. So that time there was no temple, he was just staying there. Because it was high up, it was a peaceful place. It got its name. Dwa, I think you can understand, means two. And probably you understand Dash is 10. So 12. Aditya is another name for the sun. So what had happened was Krishna had been captured by the Kaliya for 2 hours in the cold waters of Jamuna. So after he chastised Kaliya, the Brishbasi took him on top of this hill, and suddenly 12 suns appeared to dry him up and warm him up. So that place became known as Dwadasha Ditya Tila. So Sanatana Goswami established a little bhajan kutir there. Of course we know Mahaprabhu never came again to, only one time he came to Vrindavan. But Sanatana Goswami had his bhajan kutir in that place. And sometimes he would go for Madhukuri to Mathura. So one time when he was in Mathura, he saw, he was always looking for this Purushottam Chobe, and somebody pointed out to him some little alleyway. He went down that alleyway, he saw a little blackish boy like Madan Mohan running down the street, and he jumped inside some doorway. So Sanatana Goswami followed him inside that doorway. He saw that this Chobe, he had three sons, they were playing with Madan Mohan just like he was one of their friends, one of their brothers. And it was cold winter morning. Chobeji's wife, without taking her bath, she just put some cloth, she was cooking. Just like we know in our childhood, in the winter sometimes our mother will not take baths, she'll just put some bathrobe and she'll cook some cream of wheat for us to go to school early in the morning. So Sanatana Goswami became astonished and very angry. Are you boys can't play with him like he's one of your brothers? He's Supreme Personality of Godhead. And look at you, he pointed to Chobe's wife. Without taking bath, you're cooking for the Lord. You don't know, so many rule and regulations there. He began to describe all the rule and regulations. Because he was taught all the rule and regulations. You can, in the evening, you can hear a Krishnanand speak on Sanatan Siksha. He got so much rule and regulation from Mahaprabhu, directly from his mouth. So that Chobe promised that from now on we'll be more careful. So that night in dream, Sanatana Goswami got dream that Madan Mohan came in a dream. He said, I was living so peacefully with my Chobeji family. Now you put all this rule and regulation, it's no fun. Majaneyati. So then next morning, Sanatana Goswami, he ran to Chobe's house. He tried to fall on the feet of that Chobe, but Chobe fell on his feet first. And Sanatana Goswami said, whatever rule and regulation I told you, forget, Lord is pleased the way you're worshipping. And Chobe said, no, no, Lord came in my dream last night. He said, you have three sons to take care of you in your old age. Now this Sanatana Goswami's old Baba, he has no one to take care of him. You let me go with him, I will take care of him. So this way he gave that Madan Mohan Didi to Sanatana Goswami. He brought him back to that Dwadasha Ditya Tila. There was no temple, so he was just leaning him up against a tree. And that time there was no Gauranga bakery where he'll buy some nice thing. Just he got some atta, some flour, and he mixed with Jamuna water and made little balls. And then he got some cow dung, he lit it on fire. He put the little ball we call bati. And with stick he was turning it around in the cow dung, red hot cow dung. Then he'd break off all the black spots and offer to Madan Mohan. You can see the picture there in Sanatana Goswami's bhajan kutir. Him offering this old dry bati to Madan Mohan. So Prabhupada explained, Madan Mohan, he began to cry. Are Baba, every day you offer this old dry bati, you don't even give any salt. There's no Lohi Bazaar to go buy salt. So Sanatana Goswami said, look, whatever I get, I offer. Now I'm old man, I cannot find any so many things. you please be satisfied? Because if you're not satisfied with it easily gotten, then you'll never be satisfied in life. You have to learn how to control your senses. Of course, we cannot imitate the dealings between Lord and His pure devotees. But Sanatana Goswami is preaching to the Lord, you must control your senses and be satisfied with easily gotten in life. Otherwise, if you want better bhog offering, then you arrange it. This is what I can do. So Prabhupada said, because Sanatana Goswami offering with love, then Madan Mohan, he has to eat this old dry bhati without any salt. Because Sanatana Goswami chastises, today you're asking for salt. Tomorrow you'll say, oh Gosai, it gets stuck in my throat. Can you put a little ghee? Then you'll want some sabji and some sweet rice and so many. Where are you going to get all these things? You make your own arrangement. So one day there was one fellow named Kapoor. For those who aren't from India, anybody named Kapoor means he's from Punjab. So he was sailing down the Jamuna to Agra, because there was big mela in Agra. He wanted to sell his goods there. But his boat got stuck on a sandbar right at that Dwadashaditila. And he was crying and crying, oh, my boat is stuck, I won't reach the mela, then everything will be useless. So this little cowherd boy, blackish cowherd boy was there. He said, there on top of this hill there's one sadhu. Maybe he can help you. Because people, they don't go to sadhu for spiritual reasons. I asked so many sadhu in Vrindavan. Anybody ask spiritual questions? No, Maharaj, they never ask. They all think sadhu's got some jadu. Jadu means magic. So he ran there, oh Gosai, my boat is stuck. This cowherd boy said, you can help. Who told I could help? And he pointed to Madan Mohan. He said, he told. Are, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm just ordinary jeev. What can I do? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You ask him. Then he looked at Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan began to play his flute, and that ship came off of the sandbar. Then he said, oh Gosai, what do you want? You want gold, you want silver, you want diamonds, you want rubies? He said, no, I don't want anything, I don't want anything. No, you must take something. What have you got in your ship? He said, salt. Oh, you break off one block, this fellow always crying for some salt. So. Then he sailed up to Agra. So that time, on top of the hill, you see a well there. Now they have pump and everything. By that time, there was no pump. Madan Mohan used to draw water from that well. Sanatana Goswami is old man, so Madan Mohan used to personally draw the water from that well. So that water in the well is not water, it's liquid frame. Now they have tank there, you can take some of this liquid frame. So then Kapoor, he arrived at the mela just at the right time. He sold all his salt for the highest possible price. He came back and he built that beautiful temple that has become the symbol of Vrindavan for us. And he arranged a proper bhog offering every day for the Lord, and he became the disciple of Sanatana Goswami, Ramdas Kapoor. And you can find his statue also if you know where to look. Because ordinarily when we build some temple or some big building, we want our picture or our statue or our name on the front. But if you go around the back side of Madan Mohan Temple, you'll see a little drain coming out from where the water that comes from washing the floor of Madan Mohan's altar room. And if you follow that little drain, it empties into a little square tank, and you'll see a little person sitting there cross-legged and the water coming on his head. That is Ramdas Kapoor. He put himself there, not in the front of the temple. Just see, I built big, big temple. It's like not far from the place, there's temple, you can go there. You will see in front of the altar one lady is sitting and chanting. And on the altar you'll see the same lady sitting and chanting. So Ramdas, he put himself behind like that. So anyway, over the next few days we'll hear some more glories of Sanatana Goswami. One more thing I'll tell, maybe a few more things. Because nearby is the Samadhi. Alright, we'll tell about that. It is Disappearance Day. So every year, the 31st is Guru Purnima. Not Gaur Purnima, but Guru Purnima, also known as Vyas Purnima. So on that Guru Purnima day, all the sadhus, Gaudiya sadhus of Braj used to come to Manasi Ganga, because they're near Chakleswar. Sanatana Goswami used to chant just near Vaishnava Anamitasana, the greatest of the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva. So we used to chant there. And every year on the Guru Purnima day, all the Vaishnava sadhus would come, and Sanatana Goswami would take them on Prikrama of Manasi Ganga. Even in Manasi Ganga, so many places, holy places to see, that you can do whole Prikrama. We do whole Govardhan, just take darshan Manasi Ganga, put some water and run. But whole Manasi Ganga, so many Manasi Devi temples there, Hari Dev temple is there, so many beautiful places to see. So all the Vaishnavas came, and they called out, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, but no sound came from his bhajan kutir. Then they looked inside, they saw Sanatana Goswami on this day, 400 some odd years ago, he gone back to the Nitya Lila pastimes. All the Vaishnavas began to cry, hoi, hoi, hoi. So they brought his divine body back to Vrindavan, circumambulated Vrindavan, and they placed him just at the lotus feet. You can see the beautiful Samadhi Mandir just at the foot of Madan Mohan temple. So one time, it always comes very hot season, end of June or July, this time because of Purushottam month has come end of July. So June, we just went through, we know it's very, very hot. So that time, Bibi Govinda Maharaj's name was a Yojapati. It was middle of June of 77, Prabhupada was lying here very, very sick, we know, in June of 77. So Yojapati went there to Sanatana Goswami's Samadhi to pay his respects on the holy disappearance day. He gave some donation and the pujari gave him little jasmine mala like this. So he accepted it. He came back to the temple. Prabhupada was lying in bed very, very sick. So he told Prabhupada, Sanatana Goswami's disappearance day, went to the samadhi, I'm bringing this garland. And Prabhupada took that garland, put it to his eyes. And then he said, this is a gift from the spiritual world. This is a gift from the spiritual world. So all these holy places in Radha Damodar, Rupa Goswami Samadhi, Sanatana Goswami is at Madan Mohan, these are all very super divine places. So we're telling he was staying there in Govardhan, and he used to do Govardhan Prikram every day in his old age, even in his old age. But one day Krishna appeared on top of the hill and said, hey Baba, what are you doing? Don't do this. He said, no, it is my vow, I must do this. No, no, Baba, you're too old, you stop this now. No, no, it is my vow. So then Krishna jumped off the hill, he put Sanatana on his shoulder and began to run. He said, no, no, put me down, this is not my vow, I must walk. Are, Baba, you're too old. Then Krishna took one stone from the hill, Shila. He put his right footprint on that stone. He pressed his cowherd stick into the stone. He pressed his flute into the stone. And he had his cow put her hoof print into the stone. He gave him that stone and said, look, Baba, you just go around four times. That is equal to doing Govardhan Prikrama. That stone you can still see in Radha Damodar temple. Every time after the Artik, then they give darshan of the Shiva. Other pastime of him staying there at Chakleswar. Because it should be Chakraswar, because that's where Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra, when he lifted the hill, the Sudarshan Chakra was spinning around on top to keep all the water away. And after putting the hill down, the Sudarshan Chakra came there to rest at Manasi Ganga, so that's called Chakra Tirth. And there's a deity of Lord Shiva there, should be Chakraswar, but Brishvasis, they mix their R's and L's around, and even Gopi Puranadana told me there's a rule where you can change R's and L's, so they say Chakaleswar. Is here in Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami used to go to Dwadasa Tithil every day all the way up to see, take darshan of Gopeshwar. So Gopeshwar thought that is too far for him to walk every day, because that's quite a distance from Madan Mohan to Gopeshwar. So he appeared in the middle of the forest in between. When you're going to Loi Bazaar, And you know where the road from Bunki Bihari meets the road to Lohi Bazaar. And if you look up, you'll see a diorama of Gajendra Moksh. You see Lord Vishnu throwing his chakra on the crocodile. And Gajendra there crying, offering lotus to the Lord. So that's become Gajendra Moksh Churaha intersection. So Lord Shiva, so that there on top, beneath that diorama, that temple is called Bankandi. Kandi means zone or area. So that was all forest that time. But Lord Shiva just appeared there in the middle of the forest just so Sanata Goswami wouldn't have to walk so far. So that temple is known as Bankandi Mahadev. So similarly, he was staying there in Chakleswar, just near Lord Shiva, Chakleswar Mahadev. But we know Manasi Ganga, that's a lake. And generally Vrindavan is very hot. And we know when there's heat and there's water, who comes? Mosquitoes. So many mosquitoes are there. And Sanata Goswami is trying to do his bhajan. Trying to sleep at night. So finally he got fried out. It's all right, I'm leaving this place. So he packed up all his things. Not like you guys with two Samsonite suitcases. Lota kambal, sadhu ka sambal. Lota and a blanket, that's all the sadhu has. So he packed up and got ready to go. And one old Brahmin came and said, Baba, where are you going? We're enjoying your association here. No, I can't stay here. Too many mosquitoes are bothering here. I can't do my bhajan peacefully. Oh, that's a problem. Then that old Brahmin revealed he was none other than Lord Shiva, Chakleswar Mahadev. He was afraid, Sanata Goswami is going away, I won't get his association. He said, that's no problem. I will go see Machar Dev, Mosquito Dev, the demigod, because there's 33 crore demigods, so one is also in charge of mosquitoes. So I will go see Machar Dev, and you don't worry, no mosquitoes. Even till today, there's beautiful Dharamshala there. You can stay, you can give money, you don't give money, whatever you want to give, you give. Beautiful Dharamshala is there. Yeah? Until to this day you can stay there, you will not find a single mosquito in that place. So Sanat Goswami, he stayed there and he left his body there. So these are some pastimes of Sanat Goswami and Vrindavan. We're also very fortunate. We mentioned Gopi Pranadana, our late godbrother. Because Sanat Goswami was very, very learned. He's presented the whole essence of Gaudiya philosophy in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We can understand the topmost position of the gopis and we can understand the topmost service of the Lord and topmost devotees and topmost service of the Lord. And now BBT has first book after Prabhupada's disappearance not made by Srila Prabhupada. Gopi Pranadan, such a great scholar. This book has been published by BBT, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that we can learn the more glories and more things about Sanata Goswami by reading that book. Srila Sanata Goswami Pada Ki. So we'll put our, it's late, we've gone over time, so we'll put our rest, to our voice to rest here. If anybody has any question, we can try to entertain a few, couple of questions. There's no questions and we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's given us this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki.